Real Estate Coaching Radio, America's number one trusted resource for realtors who demand authentic, real-time coaching. Starring award-winning real estate coaches Tim and Julie Harris. Get ready for unfiltered, full-strength honesty about what is truly working to get you into action and make you money in this new real estate boom. Now to our hosts, Tim and Julie Harris.
And welcome back to Real Estate Coaching Radio. We are your hosts, Tim and Julie Harris. We're broadcasting live from lovely Austin, Texas. Julie, my dear, welcome to the radio show.
Yes, thank you. It's going to be an exciting week. We have all kinds of great stuff, very practical and applicable and tactical for our great listeners. Looking forward to getting to it, and I've got a few shout-outs whenever you're ready.
We are talking about our favorite topic in real estate by a country mile, which is, and a Texas country mile at that, and you in Texas know how big of a mile that is.
Long mile, man.
That's a long mile. We're talking about listings. We're talking about why you want to become a listing agent. We want to talk about why you want to completely and totally break your addiction to buyers, let alone buying buyer leads. For those of you who have been on the fence, those of you who have been waffling, those of you who have had any misgivings whatsoever about focusing all your best energies on becoming a listing agent, you need to listen to every single show this week. I promise you we're going to leave it all on the table for you. We're going to do everything in our power to convince you and then lay the breadcrumbs so you can learn how to become a powerful listing agent. Listing agents, good ones, consistent ones, have a plan. They have a map that they're following. They are very focused. It's not just if something happens to show up. And when you guys take notes this week, when you pay attention, even if you're one of our grizzled veterans that's been in the business for as long as we have and sold as many houses as we have, you're still going to benefit tremendously because if nothing else, it's going to remotivate you. So, guys, as always, it's all about education. It's all about essentially getting you guys in action through motivation, and then really at the end of the day, it's up to you. So before we get to point number one, before we get to our first story, which I'm looking forward to sharing with you guys, Julie has got some recognitions from, I think, Facebook and some emails and whatnot. So, Julie, without any further delay.
Indeed. So if you are one of our coaching members already and you are not yet participating on our private Facebook page, you are missing out. So, for example, longtime member Joe McCallop posts, another successful open house. This time we had over, wait for it, are you ready? Not one, not two, not 10, not 20, but over 100 people in just 2 hours. And of those 100 people, over 35 came in without agents. 35 new prospects for me, he writes. Don't ever underestimate what's possible through following a few easy steps from your coach. So there you have it. Lots of great commentary and kudos to him for
that.
Don't
bounce off that. Don't bounce off that.
Well, I was about to say, how many people are anti-open house? Oh, I don't do them. And you try and talk yourself out of it in a listing. First point is you're never going to get away with that. The sellers expect it 9 times out of 10. If they don't want one, you don't do it, obviously. But if you have to do it, you got to do it right like Joe did. 100 people, 35 new prospects. That's pretty awesome.
Well, but you're saying it right there, right? There's holding an open house, and then there's holding an open house with the intent of actually getting some transactions. There's holding an open house with the intent of actually generating some leads. There's some holding an open house with the intent of actually possibly selling the house. And then there's just the way that 99% of the other agents do it when you hold open houses. Hi, welcome. Come on in. If you think about it, sign my sign-in sheet. I'm going to go back to sitting on my computer. No, that is not how you do it. We have a very specific open house plan. It works, and, you know, it's a whole combination of things that make it work. So existing coaching clients, you're a member of Premier Coaching, make sure you're using the open house plan. In some markets, in some price ranges, open houses could be your main spoke on your lead generation wheel. So get to Premier Coaching content and drill down on that. And, Julie, remember, Premier Coaching clients, Julie talks about every topic every week on her coaching call that you guys have on Wednesday or Thursday, Julie? It's Wednesday,
mine's
right?
Mine's on Wednesday.
With Julie?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
that's
so,
right.
And I don't know what your topic is this week, Julie, but I imagine she's going to touch on open houses either this Wednesday or the following Wednesday. So make sure you guys drill down, take notes, pay attention, and implement. It leads from open houses.
Like Joe did.
Yes. Next one, Joel.
I mean, like at Joe, right? So he didn't just think about doing an open house. He's got 35 new leads, just saying. Okay, a quick shout-out to Michelle Halfley, who is on Facebook. 2 accepted offers over the weekend, 1 at list and 1 over list. Nice job. I posted back to Michelle, excellent work. Keep them coming. What if every weekend was like that? Do the math on that. That'll be interesting. Okay, one more, and then we'll get to our listing topic. Benita Guru writes, woohoo, I got my first BPO paycheck. She says, I have completed 29 since January 6th, exactly 1 month. My goal is to have consistent business of 60 per month. Thank you so much, Tim and Julie. I would never have known about this opportunity if it wasn't for your coaching. And a special thank you to Coach Rochelle, who patiently answered all my questions about completing BPO forms and doing the adjustments and comparables. So grateful and thankful. And actually, I guess I have one more quick one. So Benita has run with the BPO cash flow model, covering at least her monthly overhead, her basic expenses, having checks coming in every day. Nice job implementing. And Roderick Charles McDonald writes, thanks to Tim and Julie Harris coaching, out of the gates strong this year with recent highlights of 3 pended deals just last week, plus a closing and 2 new listings. Both listings were expireds. The closing wasn't expired, and one of the pendings wasn't expired. My focus this year, I love this that he wrote this, my focus this year is focus itself. Interesting.
Ooh,
and it is paying off through intense prospecting. This is something I never would have done if it wasn't for stumbling on this amazing program run by the 2 most kick-ass leaders we could ask for. Thanks, Tim and Julie. Thank you, Roderick. We really appreciate that. And we're only as good as what you guys do with what you're hearing and being coached on. So there's 4 examples just from today's Facebook postings of you guys not just saying, oh, that was a great, you know, coaching call with Julie last week, or, you know, that was a great podcast I listened to. They're actually taking action. And you can see in every case here, it's virtually immediate results. You know, they've got pendings,
so
they've got BPO money coming in, open house results. It is pretty fast. Go ahead.
So we have we're blessed with a lot of veterans as coaching clients. A lot of you guys that are listening right now are, you know, have military backgrounds and military communities. Some of you I know are forward deployed and all that. And one of the things that I learned from, it was some Marines that I was personally coaching, actually. It was a married couple of Marines. And they used to say to each other, stay frosty. Now, this was like a long time ago. And I heard them say it a couple times, and I thought, well, that's kind of cool. What does that mean? And they told me, stay frosty is basically remain situationally aware. So military folks, I know I'm speaking to you right now. And for the rest of us, then I will let everyone know what it means. I think it was Roderick's focus on focus, and essentially that's what he's saying. Say situationally aware, stay frosty. Julie and I say stay frosty to each other, meaning be present, be there, be situationally aware, listen for conversations, keep your mind focused on what your specific goal is. And I know, guys, in this business and life in general, there's so many little convenient excuses / distractions out there that get you off the hunt. And here's what scares me for you about not staying frosty and not being situationally aware. We're now into February. I actually heard this yesterday. This is the time of year that most people give up on their New Year's resolutions. This is the time of year where people start clicking back into their old patterns of behavior. This is the time of year when people start to slowly give up. And then what happens, the pattern of behavior follows that, well, in real estate agents, right, that's what we focus on. So real estate agents will be like, oh, I'm going to kick ass this year, woohoo! You know, and then you start out kind of with some energy and enthusiasm. And then because things don't just fall in your lap and it isn't super easy, you then get seduced back into the easy button. You get seduced into believing that there's a path that isn't all about doing what you don't want to do when you don't want to do it at the highest level. Military folks, again, I know I'm speaking with you because you live lives of doing what you don't want to do when you don't want to do it at the highest level. And the reason that you guys often make great coaching clients is because you know that that works, and over time you will get the benefit from it. Civilians like myself, that's what we have to accept. We have to learn that the hard way. So this time of year, guys, remember, start noticing your own feelings, your own actions. Are you starting to let go on what your dreams and your ambitions were for 2017 already? Bet you are. So why? Stop it. Put an end to it. Take action. Make this your best year ever. Leave it all in the field. Stay frosty. Stay situationally aware. Write all those words down, whatever phrase resonates with you. It doesn't matter. But the thing is, you got to drill down and get the work done. Guys, start with your real estate treasure map. If you've not downloaded that, if you've not completed that, the easiest thing for you to do is just do that now at freecoachingcallsforagents.com, and calls is plural, freecoachingcallsforagents.com. When you do, you're also going to be entitled to a free coaching call with one of our new member coaches. I know we're booked out like a week, but you definitely want to grab that spot. They'll, you know, essentially get you going in the right direction. If you're on our website, all you got to do is fill out that form that's underneath the player button right here on the radio show, and same result. You get the books for free, and you also get an opportunity to speak with one of our new member coaches. So today we're going to be talking about the importance of becoming a listing agent. And I'd like to start out by setting this up with a story, and I think this is something all of you guys can relate to. When Julie and I first got in the business right out of college, now we're in our, as Julie points out, mid-40s, I made the mistake a couple weeks ago saying late 40s, and she corrected me. So we're in our mid-40s. And so this was, you know, a couple decades ago. We were interviewing with different brokers. This was in Columbus, Ohio, talking with different people. There was no coaching then, guys. There was no internet back then. Millennials, believe me, there was a time when there was no internet. You know, anyway, it was a completely different world. So you go to these different brokers, and they'd all tell you the same thing. You got to start by working with first-time buyers. Work with the first-time buyers, sell your soul to buyers, and then after enough time, those buyers, 5-10 years, will decide to sell their house, and then you'll then pick up a listing here and there, and then that's how you do it. And you got to work in the cheaper price ranges and all these compromise conversations.
Do your time,
that's
what they used to say. You got to
you can't jump to the head of the line. You can't. And we had some agents who would say, that's my area. Don't you dare think about going there.
Oh,
you know,
that.
So that – yep. Yeah, we had that actually quite a few times in the first few years of our business, where agents would get really snippy because we go to quote unquote their area. Here's where I'm going with all this, guys. It's being told the exact same crap as being told to agents now. You guys are being told the exact same thing. You guys are being told that you have to wait in line. You're being told you all have to work with buyers. If you're a broker or an office manager, the worst thing you can do is tell your new agents they have to focus on buyers. I realize it's the easiest thing for you to tell them to do, but it's also the worst thing. You are pretty much condoning that person to fail within 5 years or less, realistically 2 years or less. You cannot build a long-standing, profitable real estate practice, and I mean truly profitable, purely on buyers. You just can't. There's not enough time in the day. And Julian and I are going to do our best to convince you the importance of pivoting towards sellers. So whether you are in the business for a long time or whether or not you're new in the business, get it clear in your head. If you want to last, you have to list. Listing agents have all the leverage. Julie?
Yes, indeed. So accept the following, what Tim just said. You have to list to last. Listings are mental labor. Working with buyers is absolutely physical labor. And those of you guys who are suffering from snowstorms are extra clear on that this time of year. Freedom comes with listings. You can simply handle more listing business than buyer business once you understand the process. I'll never forget the time I was coaching somebody, and she was new to prospecting expireds and building her listing inventory, right? And she said, I will never forget this email. She sent an email that said, well, I finally get it. Here I am, sitting here in my living room. She was in upstate New York, and it's a raging snowstorm outside. I have my fireplace going, and I have my golden retriever at my feet, and I'm just on the phone setting listing appointments. Meanwhile, the rest of my agents around me are out showing my listings. I would rather be me, okay? So that was the moment that she got it, being a listing agent. Now, being a listing agent does require more education, skill, polish, motivation, and perseverance than being a buyer's agent. Listing agents make a lot more money more consistently and less stress. That's not to say that they never work with buyers, so get that out of your heads. Even our most grizzled veterans, we always coach them, work with a minimum of 2 active, motivated buyers at all times, so you can stay frosty and know what's going on in your market, makes you a better pricer, you know the inventory better, et cetera. Now, next point, you must develop the mindset of a listing agent. Listing agents know how to consistently generate listing leads, follow up, pre-qualify them, present in such a way that they take the listing, negotiate in such a way that the listing sells, and close the deal. They're able to do all of that in such a way that the seller sends lots of referrals their way and trusts that agent with their own future business. Now, another major point here. Listing agents work with more than just repeat and referral clients. We probably could do an entire show on that thought. They're able to successfully help, quote, colder types of leads, due to their higher level of skill and confidence. You know, Tim, we've had lots of coaching calls, and I know you can refer to some, and the coaches can, where somebody has achieved, you know, usually it's like 18 to 24 deals, maybe 36 deals year in and year out, and it's always repeat and referral. You know, the business just sort of comes to them. They do a pretty good job communicating with their list, but they seem to have topped out. Why? Because they're only comfortable doing deals with friends and referrals. In order to get to the next level, being a real listing agent where you help not just, you know, if we're being honest, the easier deals, but people who are a little bit colder, maybe prospected, maybe a result of marketing, you do have to increase your skill. And you have to be willing to talk to not just people you already know, but also people you don't know. Does that make sense?
Julie, isn't the true mindset of a listing agent that of a business owner? So here's the difference, guys. When you are not a listing agent, you are depending a lot on luck. You cannot predict how many leads you're going to get. You cannot predict whether or not they're going to buy or sell. You can't predict any of that stuff. The reality of it is that when you're a listing agent, you can predict it because you can predict what your efforts are going to be that day. And after not too much time, you can predict exactly what's going to come from your efforts. That's what being a true professional is all about. When you're a listing agent, you focus all your best energies every day on learning how to take listings. And I got to tell you guys, it is work. It's real work. It's egregious work. It's work you're not necessarily going to want to do every day, but it gets you the results. And everything else basically is fake. By fake, I mean it won't last. And you'll always be subject to somebody else who's trying to basically manipulate you to get you to buy leads from them. When you learn how to be a listing agent, you create the leverage. Here, I'll really break this down for you. If you have 10 listings, right? Well, Tara, that's a fun thought. Would you rather have 10 listings or would you rather have 50 buyers? There's not a single one of you right now. Well, you're some of your analytical types. Depends on the listings. Depends on the price range. Look, does it? Would you rather have 10 listings or 10? So if you had 10 listings and they were priced correctly and your whole business model was maintaining 10 listings at all times, how much better would your life be? Wouldn't it be hey, Julie, can you call back in? Wouldn't it be predictable that you would have a certain number of those listings that would sell every single month? Isn't it predictable that you would experience that every single month? Guys, that's what – and then your business is going to all be about replacing the listings that you have that sell. So if your first objective, and this is what we walk you through on the Real Estate Treasure Map, is determining what your magic number is, then it's basically getting you to the point where you have the required number of listings that you should have at all times, and then it's replacing what sells. Guys, when you're a listing agent, you don't have nights and weekends. When you're a listing agent, you don't have to necessarily – if you don't want to work with buyers when you've gotten your required number of listings, you don't have to work with buyers. Oh, I'm going to form a buyer's agents team. You can do it if you want to. I'll probably try to advise you not to because you can actually make more net profit from buyer's agents by referring those buyers out to agents in your marketplace, in your office probably, that all they do is work with buyers. You can charge them 30-35%. Now I have to form a team. Now I have to hear about how the leads suck. Now I have to actually go through all the pains of forming a team. You can just focus on becoming a powerful listing agent. Guys, the most profitable agents I've ever coached always are making a vast majority of their profits, if not all the profits, off the list side. And they all are basically wondering, most of them now, a lot of these big teams that are contacting Julie and I that have followed this, you know, typical sort of Keller Williams team model, they're saying, Tim, I should have listened to you guys, you know, 2 years ago, because now I'm realizing that as I added more people, my profits have been driven down, and actually my percent of profit from my transactions has actually dropped to the point where I'm making less than 20%, usually less than 15%. What I'm saying, guys, is an agent with a team that generates $1 million is probably making less than an agent who sells $300,000 worth of real estate. I mean that exactly like I said it. So if you sell $300,000 worth of real estate in your marketplace, chances are you don't need an assistant, you don't need a team, you just need you. And you're going to have to work hard, of course. Once you earn the $300,000, you're net from that. After you paid your coach, after you paid your marketing fees, after you paid your MLS and R dues, whatever it is, it's going to be greater than the agent who has $1 million in revenue but has a team. You're going to make more money than that. Now, the guy who runs the team, he's going to get the awards. He's going to get the plaques. He's going to have his name on the urine cakes. He's going to have the bus benches. I'm trying to make you guys laugh. He's going to have or she's going to have all the attention in the marketplace. They're going to be walking around like they're the hot thing. And you know what? A lot of agents' minds, they will be. But it doesn't matter because you're actually going to be making more money. Doesn't work in all price ranges, what I said. In some price ranges, it does make more sense to have a team. But for the most part, get clear on that. What your objective is in real estate is to be a listing agent because it's going to produce the easiest profits. It's not easy to become a listing agent, but once you do, once you learn the skills, the profit comes from being a listing agent is actually easy to generate versus on the buyer side. And if you wanted to say, for example, your first goal was to get to 10 listings every time, at all times. Let's just say that's your first level goal. And let's say you sell in a real estate market like where Julie and I sold. So you can predict that basically you're going to have two or three of those things sell every month. You know, nothing sells overnight. I know a lot of you guys on the coast are saying, are you kidding me? I take a listing. It's going to sell tomorrow. I get it. But let's say a normal market. If you had 10 listings at all times, two or three sell per month, average commission is $6,000. You're going to make $12,000 to $18,000 a month. And let's say you get – that's the pattern. You're making $12,000 to $18,000 a month. For most of you, I'm going to guess that sounds like really great money. Now, let's say you decide you want to make more money. Then what you do is you've mastered the skills to get to and maintain 10 listings at all times. The next level is going to be if you want to increase your revenue, pay your house off, pay for a nice vacation, buy a boat, whatever you want to do, then let's say, for example, you need to get to 15 listings at all times, and now instead of having two or three closings every month, you have four or five closings every month, or even three or four closings every month, and you're just giving yourself a raise. You guys get it? You can't really do that with buyers because of Julie's next point.
That's right. So this listing agent's seven Ps, this really just puts it all into one bucket of how to get there. Profit, because everything that you just talked about, Tim, assumes that they understand that profit is their product. So profit comes from, as a listing agent, previewing, pre-qualifying, preparing, using the PLP, and a polished professional presentation. I wrote, prayer doesn't hurt either. We actually have the listing agent's prayer that we'll do on another show. And I wrote down a quote from Norman Vincent Peale that says, believe in yourself, have faith in your abilities. Without a humble but reasonable confidence in your own powers, you cannot be successful or happy. So remember those seven Ps: previewing, pre-qualify, prepare, use the pre-listing package, have a polished professional presentation. So we're going to talk about and start getting into the actual seven steps. Many of you do not actually follow a process of listing. I will never forget when we were brand new in real estate, we were in our RE/MAX office, and we asked one of the agents there, so how do you prepare for a listing presentation? And she literally walked over to her mirror, put on her lipstick, put on her nice jacket, and said, that's what I do, and I hope I hit it off with them. And I even remember back then when I didn't even know a listing presentation really existed. It can't just be like that. And yet, how many agents, that's really their strategy. Gosh, I hope I hit it off with them. And, you know, my broker told me I can expect to take maybe 50% of what I go on. I mean, you guys wouldn't accept 50% from your kids. What kind of business is that? Okay. So we're going to show you over the next several calls, starting with today, the actual process. Yes, there is an actual process to follow to virtually ensure your success. So step number one, this should go without saying, but here we are. Generate the lead in the first place. There's a couple of little mini points to this. Remember the spokes in the wheel method of lead generation. We refer to this on virtually every call. There is no one magic silver bullet that will solve all of your lead generation needs, in spite of what people are telling you in all of their pitches in your email and this and that. You must implement a minimum of five spokes of lead generation, perfecting, purifying, and pursuing until you are the best at each spoke. This means don't just dabble, right? Remember our Facebook examples. The agent that had several things already closed that were expired. Two listings were expired. A pending wasn't expired. Even a buyer sale wasn't expired, okay? So he's not just dabbling. He's taking it seriously. So not just understanding the spokes in the wheel concept, but doing something about it. Remember that in order to sustain long-term, ever-increasing success, you must actually do what you don't want to do when you don't want to do it at the highest level, which often means doing more prospecting, marketing and lead follow-up than you think you should be doing, having more than one spoke in your lead generation wheel, for example. And if you struggle with the lead generation, because this is number one point for a reason, this is not point number or step number seven, you got to generate the lead in the first place. If you struggle with it, get help. It doesn't have to be feast or famine, real estate roller coaster of income. Commit to ending cash spurts and get into cash flow. But that starts with getting great at lead generation. What would you add to that, Tim? I mean, this is kind of a significant point, generate the lead in the first place so that we can do the rest of the points, which assumes that.
That's right. So here's, again, carry around this thought. When you work with buyers, it's physical labor. When you work with sellers, it's mental labor. You know who thought of that? Julie Harris did. And that's really true. When you work with Julie, so explain what you meant by that point, because that really is like a big epiphany for folks. Assuming they're ready for it. You know, it's funny as I said that, Julie. You know and I know that there's agents listening right now who are not wanting to hear necessarily what we're saying because they don't want to actually have to take the responsibility of learning how to be listing agents. Or they've convinced themselves in their marketplace there's no listings to be had. So they're going to get back on this hamster wheel that goes at supersonic speed of trying to find buyers to put houses in contract. You guys know who the best buyer's agents are right now in the marketplace? They're called listing agents because they're selling the houses to their own buyers. You already know it. It's true, don't you? That's the reason so many of you are frustrated in your markets not being able to find inventory because the listing agents have figured out ways to cut you guys out, and they're going directly to the buyers. They're double-ending listings. I know from all my most seasoned clients, that is job number one. Because the Zillows and the other things like that have basically oversaturated, you know, essentially the marketplace with all these people buying buyer leads. The listing agents now are going direct. They're cutting you guys out. So the feast days of being a listing or a buyer's agent are long over. You're always going to be struggling. You're always going to have to be putting in a tremendous amount of physical labor, whereas being a listing agent is all about mental labor. It's all about mental aptitude and your efforts that follow that. Julie, so drill down on that when you originally thought of that point.
Yeah, and this is why not every agent you know is a listing agent, because it does require a higher level of mental skill, acumen, perseverance, patience, all the rest, right? So, I mean, think about it quite literally. Being primarily a buyer's agent is literally physical labor. You have to find the inventory. You have to set up the showings. You have to drive around. You got to fiddle with your lockbox all the time. All over God's green earth, you got to set up your navigation. There is a lot of literally physical labor opening the doors, walking around in houses, following up, hope that they
sacrifice
actually buy
your
something.
Weekends, miss your kids' sports activities, because buyers want to look at stuff when normal people are not working, you know? So you're going to be having
one.
To sacrifice
shovel
your
way to the door.
We've been there, done that.
I hope that. Do you remember when the lockboxes were literally frozen over with ice, and you'd have to like take an ice pick to even show a property to get in, because if the rain hit it at the wrong angle and it froze?
Anybody from where we're from will totally and completely relate, and I promise you, Julie, they're laughing right now because they probably were just listening to us in their car on the way to an appointment and now are realizing that they need to figure out some ways to quickly defrost their lockbox. Yeah.
Exactly. Yes. I mean, even starting with getting in your car, if you left it outside and it's frozen shut, I remember having to take boiling water over the locks of the car to get into it. So, it is physical labor, right? I remember one of our coaches who was our buyer's agent to begin with, she called and she was so mad because she had this beautiful winter white wool gorgeous suit that she had just bought, and she basically put her BMW in a snowdrift. I remember having to rescue her, and she was like totally marooned up to her neck in snow and ruined this beautiful outfit. So, you know, many flavors, and you guys all have lots of stories to tell about the physical labor of showing property. Now, mental labor, being a great, powerful, consistent listing agent who doesn't just list what falls in your lap. Yeah, that means you have to be competitive. You've got to learn objection handling. You've got to learn how to close. You've got to put together a really killer pre-listing package. You've got to know how to actually present and not just throw some lipstick on and wing it, right? You've got to have that together and know who your competition is. You've got to have the guts to ask using an actual pre-qualification script. I'm curious, will you be talking with other agents or will I be there to actually get the paperwork done and let's get it on the market? And if they say, well, yes, we think we should talk to four or five other agents. Or in some markets, especially out in Washington, D.C., you guys do this all the time. They'll interview up to 10 agents. So I'm curious, how did you arrive at those names to interview? You got to have the guts to ask those questions, write down the answers, and do your research. It's mental labor. Go ahead.
Let's pick up tomorrow where you left off. But I want to share with you guys an actual email I got during today's show. And I didn't have a chance to go through it carefully, but I'll give you the gist of it. It's from a gal. She said she's basically, it's her and her husband, her kids have left, and I'm not going to use her name and everything because I haven't asked her permission, so I'm just going to kind of give you guys the overview. The gist of the email was that she started listening to us, May of last year. And she said essentially that, you know, we were talking about people resisting. This is the reason she emailed. She said she was resisting back then. And since that time, she rattled off all the things that she'd spent money on. She went to a conference and someone was telling her to spend all of her effort on social networking. That didn't work. She started buying leads. That didn't work. She started doing all this fancy mailing. That didn't work. Let me open the email and count. 11 different things that she did. That more or less, I'm not saying they summarily don't work, but what I'm suggesting to you guys is they're definitely not the highest and best use of your time. In some cases, you never have to even think about any of these other little shiny object, you know, easy button things. And she's essentially telling me that she wished she would have basically taken action on the things that she's learning now, the things that she wished she would have done, you know, over the last basic almost year, how much better off she would have been. This is what she's expressing to herself. Now she's telling me she's frustrated. I'm probably just going to give her a surprise coaching call. And then, you know, try to motivate her, get her refocused. But you know what? I see that personally, guys, not a coaching client, right? So I've never spoken with the gal. She's just a listener. We have nearly 200,000 listeners. So look, it is what it is. But I feel personally responsible for that gal's struggles over the past, you know, months, year basically, because of the fact that, you know, back then we should have drilled down harder on the radio show. We should have convinced her and all of you who are on the fence that this is the right path to follow, assuming your goal is to make profit. We need to do a better job of, you know, sometimes shocking you guys. Sometimes if it takes you know, pissing you off, that's what we're going to do. We need to do whatever it takes to get you to take action, because I feel personally responsible for the failures that she's had and the mental, emotional, and financial state that she's in now. So here's a thought for all of you. You guys are listening. Stop listening to us passively. We try to be entertaining, but honestly, I don't even care. Our main objective is to give you guys the information to put you into action, to get you in a place where you can help other people and you can make money. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to stay drilling down on that. We're not going to, you know, this isn't going to be some sort of walking on coals and rah-rah horse shit. We're focusing on what's going to put you in a position to help other people and make money. Those are your two primary objectives as being a business owner. The more people you help, guess what? The more money you're going to make. And if we have to be rude, overly direct, some of you guys don't like it when I swear. Others of you want me to swear more often. Some of you guys don't like it when Julie drones on about some point, even though what she's actually saying is incredibly powerful. Those are the kinds of negative feedback stuff we get from you guys occasionally. But those are all comments that are coming from people that are not ready to hear the message or truly take action. Take the action. Don't wait another day. Don't wait another month. Don't wait another year. Do everything in your power to make today, this very moment, remember guys, situationally aware, stay frosty, make this today the best start of the rest of your life. Don't be like all the other fools that basically said, these are all the great things I'm going to do this year, and wrote all down their New Year's resolutions, and now they stopped going to the gym. That is what the gym guys, they market the crap out of joining the memberships in the fourth quarter of the previous year, and they know by the second quarter of the following year, you all are going to stop attending. That's what they're banking on. Don't be like one of those people. Julie, anything else you'd like to say as you're around the bend?
Well, you know, if you doubt any of this, get on over to our private Facebook page and read what your fellow members and listeners
are actually doing.
If you're a member. Now, if you're not, you know what to do. Okay? Help us to help you. Do you feel how we care about your success? And maybe, yeah, we live a little bit of vicariously through all of you. We're so proud of
your successes,
and we also understand your struggles, you know. I mean, we have actually been there and done that and walked in your shoes. I had somebody ask me yesterday what makes us different, and I said, well, you know, we actually did sell between 100 and 200 homes every year for more than 10 years before we actually coached, and now we've been coaching for more than 10 years. You know, we do feel what you go through. We understand it, but we also know that when you have struggles and stress, that's a temporary condition. It's not a lifestyle, assuming that you take action. So if you're already a member, go enjoy successes and share your own on our Facebook page. And if you're not yet a member, freecoachingcallsforagents.com, and let us help you at a higher level.
That's right, guys. Look, anytime in any way we can be of service to you, the private Facebook page is just for our coaching members. For the rest of you guys, email us directly, tim@timandjulieharris.com or julie@timandjulieharris.com. Anytime we can be of help to you in any way, any suggestions for folks we should interview, any ideas whatsoever, love the testimonials, love the criticism, too. If you guys want us to, and I get emails from folks and they're not understanding a point I made, and I will have an exchange back and forth where, you know, I'm going to try to make you, hopefully, you guys see the other side of it. And sometimes I might agree with you that maybe I misspoke or maybe I said something I wasn't clear on or Julie wasn't clear on. Look, guys, this radio show, this podcast is all about helping you guys be successful. Please do not let the ball get by you. Do not wait. Do not procrastinate. Take the actions necessary. What are you waiting for, guys? You only live once. You're dead a real long time. There is a fact. If you need us for anything, email us. Have a great day.
This program has been a presentation by Tim and Julie Harris, Real Estate Coaching. For more information on our real estate coaching and training programs, visit our website at timandjulieharris.com. Remember to tune in weekdays at noon for upcoming shows. And until next time, thank you for listening to Real Estate Coaching Radio with Tim and Julie Harris.